Pride of Jenny at the 200. My goodness, 15 in front. Declan Bates goes for the whip, riding a ride out. There's no need. This is a demolition job. Pride of Jenny in the Queen Elizabeth Stakes. My, oh my.
Welcome back to the B-Set. It's been a fantastic carnival. The last day here, all-age stakes day, champagne stakes day. It's going to be a great day out there on Saturday. Ray, as I bring you in, mate, how did you see the meeting?
I quite like the meeting. I'd like it if it doesn't rain
a
whole lot on Saturday. We're not in control of that. There's a little bit forecast. Who knows when it's going to fall. If it's going to fall, it keeps changing, as it always seems to do. But yeah, look, I quite like the meeting. I think it's pretty handy. We've even got the midway and the highway back.
They're back.
But I think I've got a small tinge of confidence about a few horses, and that's dangerous. What about yourself?
Yeah, no, it's usually in the last, well, horses are at the end of their preps, or some of them might be going to Brisbane. So it can be a little bit tricky like that. But with that said, I think there's plenty of value in the meeting. I'm happy to take on a couple of favourites. So if we can get a few of them home, we might just be able to have a day out. Okay. That'd be nice, wouldn't it?
We're going to have a day out, so.
Yeah, I'm going to have a day out. I'll be out there tomorrow, so I'm looking forward to that. You'll be working,
those
as always.
Those people who don't know what we're talking about, Race Connects is the under 35s.
Yes.
Part of I guess, Racing New South Wales is involved in it. It's a little bit separate, but it's to encourage people the younger generation, if you want to call yourself younger generation.
Oh, man, I'm old now. I'm getting old.
Well, that's it. You've got a three, haven't you?
Yeah, or close this year.
So that's on at Randwick. So look that up if you're interested in going to that.
Yeah.
Before we kick off with Saturday, I think we need to talk about what happened last Saturday.
Yep.
Just briefly, obviously that unbelievable performance from Pride of Jenny.
Yeah. There's
been a lot of discussion about the tactics or lack thereof from some of the chasers. I personally think it was just a little bit of a perfect storm that happened.
Yep.
I think we all knew that Pride of Jenny was going to go out running.
Yep.
I don't think we knew she was going to open up that kind of a break.
Yep.
But I think it was exacerbated by her doing that and perhaps the rest of the pack not really knowing what to do, whether to chase her or whether to hope she came back. And I just think as the race went on, it became increasingly harder for the pack to catch her, because she wasn't going warp speed, but she was just edging away each 200 meter section. And look, being there, it was amazing to watch. The reception was what you like to see at the races.
Yep.
You know, it was the crowd really engaging with the racing. And look, while I don't think, you know, she started, what, $7 or something like that, so she certainly wasn't the favourite. She was a popular winner.
Yeah, she was a popular winner. Look, I did my cash, so I was, it was good to see, but I'm a punter, so I don't like losing, but like most. But I agree with you. I think maybe the jockeys, and I'd say they'd probably all admit to it, probably just missed the boat a bit there.
Yeah,
looking in hindsight, and that happens.
It happens. Look,
that's the strength to her, though.
It's going to be interesting to see how it's approached when she comes back in the spring, because look, I don't think it can be assumed she's going to do it to that extent. She's never done it to that extent before. She's always opened up a lead of about, five or six or something like that. But that's a lot different to 30 or 40 lengths.
Yep.
So I don't think anyone can expect her to do that going forward. Anyway, that was last week. It was amazing. I think what would make Saturday amazing is if we can find a few winners. So let's get cracking.
Yeah, well, let's get into it. The Group 1 Weight for Age Sweps All Age Stakes. Do you go with the TJ form line, or did you look somewhere different? That's the key to it.
It is. The bottom line is I ended up with the TJ only just.
Yep.
In that I like Sunshine in Paris.
Yeah.
Both her runs since that injury in the spring have been excellent. She possibly should have won the Galaxy. And look, I thought she was good in the TJ. I think it was a sign that she probably just needed the run a little bit. I mean, I know she was brilliant first up sprinting at 1,100 metres, but she had the back of Oishai Win in the run, or certainly coming around the home turn, and he edged away from her a little bit just in that last couple of hundred metres. I thought she was fine. She gets a nice soft barrier this time, that a race with good tempo. We know she's a classy mare. Annabelle Neesham speaks bullishly about her.
Yeah.
Anytime you hear her talk. So I think she's a good chance without being declaring anything.
Yeah.
Southport Tycoon is the one that worries me.
Yeah.
I don't think they want a whole lot of rain. I don't think they want the track to open up too much.
Mm.
We all know the form behind him.
Yeah.
From the Australian Guineas, that's been well exposed. Obviously, he was meant to run in the Doncaster 2 weeks ago. Had he run in the Doncaster, he's probably not in this race.
Yeah, no, definitely not.
So this has been obviously plan B. He's trialled pretty well on a couple of occasions, draws pretty well. Three-year-olds have got a good record.
Yeah, five out of the last 12.
Yep.
Yep.
And it's only been a 1,400-metre race for the last 20 years.
Yeah.
It used to be run at a mile. So, yeah, there's talk that he goes better the Sydney way, and if that's the case,
that's a big plus.
That's a big plus. So, look, the other TJ form I've put in is Aspiona, and Private Eye is one I think that's going to be a big watch throughout the day.
Yep,
he doesn't really want it too much worse than a 6, maybe a 7. He certainly doesn't want it shifty. The way the race looks to pan out in the early stages, I think it suits him because he'll be able to find a spot in that first half.
Yes.
Because all the speed's drawn around him. So assuming he jumps well, I would imagine that Joe Pride will have said to James, if he jumps well, follow the speed over and find a spot. You don't want to be dragging back.
McDonald Group 1, he's not snagging back to last.
No.
He's pushing forward and getting a spot. That's just what he does, and that's why he's the best at it.
So he's the one that I'm sort of wary of. There's a few others here that I could easily find a case for. Magic Time obviously comes through the TJ. And NCAP, who I actually tipped in the rider, who was quite good, but he just got a lot further back in that race than anticipated. So I mean, he's only won the one race, which is a worry, but he's been around the mark in all these races so far. So I'm going 10, 12, 9, and 1 with Sunshine in Paris on top. I'm certainly more bullish about other races.
Yeah, I'm Southport Tycoon and Private Eye, but Southport Tycoon on top and the main bet. And look, as you said, it's 1,400 metres, but I think you're going to need a horse that can really run a strong 14 because Buffalo River's engaged, so it's going to be run at a fast pace. I just wanted to take the different angle away from the TJ. And Southport Tycoon's profile interests me. We all know he went to the career peak in the Australian Guineas. As you said, Riff Rocket's come out and won two Group 1s. V8 won the George Ryder. So that's the form's more than confirmed there. I really did like the two trials between runs. The latest over 1,200 is the big tick for me. So it kept him up to the mark. He's the one that's going to get the smother run. So he's going to need a little bit of luck when they come out, but I think he's going to be very strong late. So happy to be with Southport Tycoon and Private Eye. I like this horse in an Everest. I just don't think 1,000 metres, 1,100 metres is his go anymore. So getting out to 1,400 metres, McDonald from a wider draw, if he gets in or even if he gets a back to follow, come down near the centre of the track, he's got such a strong closing speed and he will run out a strong 1,400 metres for you. So happy to be with Southport Tycoon and Private Eye in the All Age.
Look, I think that with Private Eye, I actually think that probably 1,400 metres is his sweet spot. He's run up to a mile, but I wouldn't rule him out as a sprinter because you look at his two runs since his Lightning state. Well, look at his three runs since preparation. Yeah. He found himself in front in the Lightning, which he's never done in his life. And that, well, he's only just gone down. That's obviously not his preferred style. The challenge stakes at 1,000 metres, well, he ended up back last again, rushed home to be beaten a length. It was certainly not a bad run.
Yeah.
And then the Galaxy, well, he spent half the race going backwards from a wide gate.
Yeah.
And never got into it at all. So you could make a case that he's just been
nothing's gone. Yeah, $8. Then that's why the $8.50 gets me in. Yeah.
And at the top level, you do need a few things to go your way because there are very few dominant horses around. So it's an interesting race for him. Apparently, he hasn't won in the last three autumns.
Really?
Which is a stat to have a look at, but certainly this autumn, there's been some circumstances to conspire against him. If it rains too much, the circumstances are
going to
conspire against him again. But, he's very interesting because his aim was the TJ.
Yeah.
And it became very apparent a couple of days out that he wasn't going to be running in it because of the forecast, which turned out to be right. So, yeah, look, the team Private Eye haven't had a lot of luck this preparation and, well, when you've won $10 million in prize money, you can say they've already had a bit of luck. Yeah. So perhaps things will turn around. So that's the All Age.
Yeah, let's go to the Champagne. So the two-year-olds getting out to the 1,600 metres for the Champagne Stakes. Do you trust the sire's form that Manal will get out to the 1600 metres, or do you go to your more horses that are really had this target all the way through, the likes of Linebacker and Broadsiding, or even a Node? So which way did you go here?
History says it's the sire's.
Yep.
History says that it's a double that you can do, the sire's and the Champagne.
Yep.
It happened recently with King's Legacy. Obviously, Militarized did it last year. Look, Manal is has raced against the best the whole way through.
Yep.
She's been an iron horse, really. She won the gym crack on the first day, and she's had four runs this prep. I think the key to her here is, well, there's two things. Obviously, if it rains, it doesn't matter.
Yep.
And if it rains, it probably aids her. Because it might take away those in front a little bit. But I think the barrier is okay for her this time. I mean, she's drawn four of eight.
Finally draws a gate.
So she's drawn a gate where, if you look at where the speed is, you've got, obviously, a Node and Linebacker have drawn either side of her.
Yep.
You know where they're going to go.
Yep.
And the other speed is probably El Castello drawn the outside barrier. So she probably doesn't have to do any work and could probably land fourth, fifth at worst. Now, you launched the sires and she was last on the home turn.
Yep.
And had to run them all down. She was near last in the slipper due to that wide gate and did an amazing job to finish as close as she did. She might just be one of those two-year-olds that is, you know, just well above average, like high class. That's not to say a horse like Linebacker couldn't be. He's only had two starts. You know, Hawkesbury maiden on a heavy, which is a tick for any potential rain. And last start where he had that battle with a Node. Now, the form out of that race is mixed.
Yep.
Obviously, Broadsiding finished a couple of lengths behind him and came out to win last week in the Fernhill really impressively. A Node, the horse he did battle with, finished seventh behind Manal in the sires. So, you know, from a form perspective, it's a little mixed.
Yeah.
John O'Shea talks very bullishly about Linebacker, and he seems to think he's going to be at his best when he's allowed to roll along.
Yep.
He's not going to be allowed to roll along in this race unless a Node misses the start hopelessly, which he hasn't done to date. I'm left with Manal. I just think that she's the class. If she doesn't run out the mile, well, then one of these other horses, the up-and-comers, might well get her.
Yep.
But I don't think it'll be a fact. I don't think it'll be a matter of something running her down.
Yep.
I think it'll be a matter of her picking them up.
Yeah, absolutely. The way I approached this race for me was I was looking at Manal, and I just can't come into the 230. I think she's the one at who's hit her peak. And I was looking at the other two horses, Linebacker and Broadsiding, who have been set for this race all the way through. And I think they're the two that really can step off their last run. So with that said, I was actually marked Linebacker favourite. On prices, Broadsiding, though, for me, is the big overlay. He's on the quick backup. He's a winner at the track and distance, obviously, 7 days ago. And the way he did it, he had the race shape against there, but I just like how he moved. He showed good acceleration, was strong to the line. I just think the 650, he might even get $7, if however this market goes. We might get a good price. He's the horse I want to back, and I could save on Linebacker and just take a slight set against Manal. And just when I take $2.30, it's no real ifs or buts for me. So I can definitely understand that. I just think she's at her peak and the other two have been set for this. And in a two-year-old 1,600-metre race, it's always that little bit tricky. But Broadsiding for me is definitely the bet out of the race.
It's interesting. Like this, obviously, the four probably main horses we're talking about here are Node, Linebacker, Broadsiding and Manal. It'll be interesting to see. I mean, like I said, history teaches us a lot of things. The Fernhill has produced one winner of the Champagne, and that was Prized Icon, also trained by James Cummings.
Yeah,
that was the year that Yankee Rose was an odds-on favourite and was a late scratching the day before. Not to take anything away from Prized Icon, he went on to win the race. But that's the only evidence of the Fernhill producing a Champagne winner. Then you got a race like the Ballew, which has produced a few winners here and there.
Yep.
But generally, the most of the form is the sires. Now, whether this year is different, because Manal's the last one standing pretty much of all the horses that went through the slip of the sires, you know, who would have thought? Particularly with all the horses that the Waterhouse Bot team had, you know, they've been left with a Node as their runner in the race. It's going to be fascinating to see who they back because they didn't miss broadsiding last week.
Yep.
Manal is... Well, she started favourite in the Sweet Embrace and got the job done.
Yes.
So when she's been expected to win, she has. And I quite like how strong she was at the finish. Even though she won narrowly in the sire, she was still going at the finish. Anyway, it's going to be a fascinating race. We'll learn a lot more, obviously, come race 7 on Saturday.
Oh, yeah. The other race I wanted to talk about was the Hallmark because I think that's a really good sprinting race over the 1,200 metres. And, look, Front Page has come up very short, $2.10, coming off that very solid run in the Galaxy. Did you find Front Page or did you go for possibly one of the Godolphin runners in Villana or Aft Cabin?
Well, let's have a little bit each way here.
Yes.
Because we don't know what the situation is with the track.
Yep.
The moment we're looking at, we're probably looking at the moment at a soft 5, no worse.
That would be nice.
However, there's anywhere between a couple to maybe half an inch of rain, which would make it significantly worse. Probably wouldn't push it to heavy, but Front Page on a soft 5, I don't think they catch him.
Yep.
He's not been exposed to anything worse than a soft track in his career. He ran 6th in the Goodwood on a soft 7. He should have won the town, played at Wagga on a soft 6. So a little bit of rain's not going to hurt him, but I don't think he wants it, you know, shifty or raining on the day kind of situation. He's so well placed.
He is. At the weights, he's very well placed.
To get him with 56, considering his rating, his second up stats are interesting.
Yeah, that's the query I've got.
One thing I can put an asterisk against those scratchings is the last 3 second up attempts have been in Group 1 races.
Yeah.
So, you know, and races like the Champion Sprint in Melbourne after the Kosciuszko, which was certainly the case. He ran 6 to Imperatrice in that race.
Yeah.
Is that a failure? I don't know whether it's a failure, but he just wasn't up to it. That's the only little asterisk. But I think Matthew Dale's aware of that and, you know, he's probably picked this race out as an ideal one. If we do get a little bit more rain and the track opens up, I think it's Villana.
Yeah, that's who I like.
He's the one that's going to love it. He's got a great first up record. It's obviously been a target race for him. He's been gelded, which is unusual for a 5-year-old rising 6 to be gelded.
Yep.
But, and obviously if it rains more, Marzu maybe comes into it again. I think we forgive him his TJ run where he was 3 deep on the pace all the way, but it's really D-Day for him. So if I'm going to have a bit each way, I think if the track's not too bad, Front Page is the horse to beat. Yep. I get more worried about Villana and more it rains.
Yeah, Front Page, look, obviously deserves favouritism at the weights and the map, but $2.10 I thought was short enough. Just with historically, now from a ratings perspective, he does dip second up, so I just can't come into the 2.10 there. And I just really like Villana. Resumes as a gelding, looks to be absolutely flying at the trials. And you go back through these horses' pattern, and his peak efforts are all first up at Randwick, over 1,200 metres. Gets Nash on. Look, I think that's the bet in the race for me. Happy to be with Villana. I don't know what to do with Aft Cabin, honestly. every start, I've had something on him. So he'll probably come out there and just come down the outside and say thank you very much. But look, I think Villana is easy to bet in the race. No, like nothing against Front Page, it's just the price.
You take the price out.
Yeah.
And Front Page is clearly the horse to beat because while there is that slight doubt about his second up ratings, as we've said, a lot of those have come in Group 1, serious Group 1 races. So this is a test for that. If he doesn't produce under these circumstances, well, then I think that's a really significant thing to think about going forward. There are question marks over those three at the top.
Yeah.
Marzu, is he gone? Can Joe get him back? He's had a few excuses here and there. Aft Cabin looked like he could win anything after his first up unlucky run and has gone missing. Yes, there were some excuses in the Galaxy, but didn't fire a shot in the TJ. Villana, prior to the last preparation, he was a gun fresh.
Yep.
He was beaten with every chance fresh last preparation.
Yep.
They've gelded him. He's trialed really well. He gets conditions, regardless of whether it rains or not, to suit. is the gelding a throw at the stumps?
Yeah.
So there's a lot of question marks here, and the question marks get even more intense over Front Page if it rains.
Yeah.
The only other horse in the market is Colino, who has been brilliant on his day first up as well, but is patchy on wet tracks as well. So,
yeah.
So many question marks there. I can see Front Page as a worthy favourite.
Yep.
I think you're right. I think Valana's the one they're going to back.
Mm.
And we'll see what happens.
Alrighty, let's get into the rapid fire. So,
okay.
Over the odds on a program where you could probably find a couple. I actually don't mind my one over the odds.
Oh yeah?
Yeah, it's yeah, you I'll let you go one? First.
Okay, all right. That's interesting. I found it interesting. I went with Waterford.
Yeah.
As the over the odds. I think he can't do anything else but run well. I think he was about $14 or $15 this morning, something like along those lines. He didn't win first up last preparation, but he ran a cracking race.
Yeah.
And second up, and they were in good group races. He didn't win last prep, but he just kept running well. Tommy Berry has won all four races on him. I liked his recent trial. He wasn't asked for anything. He draws well. He handles wet tracks. You know, the 1,400 metres first up suits. He can't do anything else but run well. Now, whether that's good enough to win, it is a tough race to win. But I just thought he was a little bit overlooked, perhaps in the hype around a horse like Jimmy Starr being in the race. So, yeah, Waterford the overs.
I'm going to go, let's kick off the day in the Midway.
Ooh.
Always Sure, down number 16.
Yeah, I can see that. I've got him in my top four.
So, well, they've went up $41. I didn't get it. But it's now $15, no deduction. So there's a few people thinking the same train of thought here. But first up, very wide draw, snagged. Ran the fastest closing splits. It was really good through the line, visually everything. Just needed the run. Second up, barrier three. Molly Burke's riding really well, but gets Tim Clark on. So I think it's going to be a lot more positive. You go back through this horse's profile. I know it hasn't won for some time now, but this clearly looks a set play.
Yep.
Second up, I reckon they've had this midway stamped for Sarah Ryan, who's a great trainer. So around it's $15 now. I still think that's over the odds. I think Always Sure to start the day is a really good bet. 1,400 metres, suits, good record at the distance, handles hopefully not too wet, could handle a soft track, that's okay. But yeah, happy to be with Always Sure to kick off the day. I always try to like starting well, Ray. There's nothing better than starting well.
Absolutely. you're right there. It's going to be interesting to see how he goes. He was excellent up the fence there first up. It was a good...
That's right. Sorry, I'd say...
Good positive first up run.
Yeah.
He has to obviously back that up, but he's a horse that can. He's a horse that can race a bit closer. I bet you wish you got the 41s.
Yeah, dude, you're right. Yeah, I wish I did. It was slightly inferior in that ground as well, so it was another bonus. But, all right, let's move to under the odds.
Well, I'll stay in the same race, Jimmy Starr.
Yep.
There's a lot of hype around this horse, and I'm not sure why. He did have a few, you know, nice wins in a row there, going through the grades. And, look, I thought he was beaten on his merits at Flemington two starts back. And look, there was obviously and that was the race where he went forward, and there was a lot of talk about that.
Yeah.
And I think that was the right move, and he just had every chance. He probably didn't have every chance in the Newcastle Stakes, but at the same time, I don't know that he would have finished a whole lot closer.
Yeah.
He's got a bit of work to do from the barrier. He wouldn't have, if it does rain a bit, he wouldn't have seen a track like he's going to meet.
Yeah.
If it gets to, say, 6 or 7.
Yep.
I think they have to oppose him.
Yep. Yeah.
So I think he's unders.
Yeah, for me, there's a couple, but I do think Kazoo has just been really well found, $3 in the last race. A lot of these runners are first up. There's going to be horses coming from everywhere, coming out of the pack here. I actually found Paray, I marked that horse, or Peril, Paray. Honestly, every time I get that horse wrong. Paray. I actually marked him favourite. Kazoo, James McDonald, Chris Waller, I get it all. Nice trial, very forward for this race, but $3 I thought was just short enough. Can win, but I was happy to mark Paray favourite. So had to make Kazoo under the odds.
Yeah, fair call.
Alrighty, let's get into the good stuff of the podcast. The best bets, time honoured. What do you like, Ray?
The best bet, I like this horse, Tannhauser.
Yes.
Race 4, number 1. If he is ever going to win a race,
yeah,
this is the one. He may not be a colt at the end of this preparation if he doesn't start knocking some of these off.
Yep.
I don't think anyone missed his run in the Carbine Club. He was back. He had to do a lot of work to get into the finish, and you know, he was mowing them down at the end of the mile. He gets a completely different setup. Doesn't matter whether it rains or not, he handles either, as we saw last start.
He actually, I reckon, would prefer it. You're right, but even a bit of sting out.
I think he's going to get sting out. Yeah. He's going to get sting out. Doesn't really matter. But he's got a much more positive draw this time. Hopefully he can take a little bit of advantage of it. It is important at the 2,000-metre start.
Yeah.
So hopefully James can just come out neutral on him and find that spot. Probably midfield would be fine. And this is his big chance. Like he's threatened to be a decent horse for quite a while.
Yeah.
I thought he'd gone missing there in the spring. He certainly didn't fire at all. They packed up after two runs. He's come back. Fair first up, better second up, really good last time. Gets to 2,000 metres, soft draw. Everything says this is his race.
Couldn't agree more.
I like him. The other horse I like, also in a 2,000-metre race, New Energy.
Yep.
He's going to need a different kind of luck because he's got a slightly trickier barrier draw, if I can say the word. He was sneakily good in the rider.
He was. Fastest four to the two of the meeting.
Yeah, and he's run the second fastest last 200 as well.
Yep.
Yet he's run 14th, beaten six lengths. So that tells you how far back he was.
Yep.
He goes from 1,500 with a tick over trial to 2,000 metres, which he appears to be looking for.
Yep.
James just needs to find a spot. Snagging him back to last isn't going to work here.
Yep.
He might have to take a bit of a punt and try and be somewhere, even if it's just with a bit of cover down the back, because you've got that sort of 200-metre run of turning, and then you've got that nice long run down the back. So hopefully he can find a spot. And look, you know, he was so good first up. He was, as I said, sneakily good second up. He might be a smart horse.
Yep.
Hopefully he's not a drifter. I'd be worried if he is. I'd like to see him solid in the market, and I think he can continue to step up, because I'd imagine he'll continue on to Queensland.
Yep. Oh, beautiful. So I'm three best bets, as usual. But Tannhauser, I'm with you there. I think it's just a really, really good bet with that profile. I can't add any more to what you said. Just McDonald on, the significant barrier change. Everything points towards a peak performance, fourth up. And if you step him off his last figure, I think he's a genuine 6-4 chance. I think he's really hard to hold out. Just needs a bit of luck. I have to go head-to-head with you here in race 6. I'm actually going to make Faulkner Park one of the best bets. I agree with you, New Energy.
He's one of your horses.
Yeah, he is. I just think there's two hopes. You look at these two horses, and in this race, a lot of them have a couple of convictions, mm-hmm. and a lot of them are one-paced. The thing that New Energy and Faulkner Park have is acceleration and strong closing speed. The thing I just went with Faulkner Park is just that map advantage. I think they're going to be handy midfield there on Saturday. I really like that Albury Cup win. I know it's a big step, but they ran time. He ran some of the fastest closing splits of the meeting, 53.5 kilos. Don't worry about the 29-day freshen up. The big thing is obviously the rain. He doesn't want it too wet, but I'm just banking on that the track's going to be okay.
Those two horses are probably going to be next to each other.
Yeah.
or nearabouts in the run, because while Faulkner Park's got that good draw, he's never shown any evidence of being able to take advantage of it. So I imagine he's going to be in around that midfield position as well. And it might come down to the better ride or the better run in the race, who gets the luck at the right time. He was two or three notches above him in the Albury Cup, wasn't he? He was just way too good.
Just around $5 and a New Energy as well. Like, I could possibly save on that horse. I think it's just a great gamble to have. And they're going to go to Kembla in race 2. No prices yet, so I'm not sure what they're going to go up this. But race 2, number 2, Monty the Missile. Nice. Debut run at Newcastle. Always faced the breeze in a brutal, brutal tempo. Stuck on really well. High rating race. Started $2.10 there. So there's a bit of confidence about this horse. Amy Lucas stays on. Barrier 4 has to get to the 1,500, but I think will, and just looks to have edge on these horses. So I don't know what price they'll go up.
Given he started favourite on debut, he'd probably be close to favourite.
Yeah, I think he's an odds-on chance, but You never know. You never know. They
funnily
might
enough sell. About that day, yeah. He was on debut, as you said. He had a half-sister as a two-year-old who was also on debut on the same day.
That's right. I remember you saying
this. And he won the first race.
Yeah.
And he's gone down narrowly in that other race. It would have been quite a unique double to have two half-siblings, 2 years apart, no less.
Yeah, what are the chances of that?
Yeah. Yeah. So he gets his chance. You know, it's...
Yeah, so yeah, they're my three. Tannhauser and Faulkner Park at Randwick and Monty the Missile at Kembla Grange. So
awesome.
A couple of few best bets there. It's been a great carnival, and hopefully we can go right on with it on Saturday.